Hey there. Ever feel like you just need a break from the day-to-day of work, put on that out of office, and be alongside peers learning from fellow nonprofits and industry experts on what they see working when it comes to fundraising, marketing, growing a monthly giving program, retention, everything that encompasses what you do? Well, if so, I have two events for you to mark down. June 4th and 5th is Donor Perfect's Community Conference Spark. It is for any fundraiser wanting to excel in donor management, program innovation, community engagement, and organizational growth, and it is free. So click the link in the show notes to register. And then an event that I have attended 3 years in a row is the NEO Summit, combining practical, actionable, and very data-informed content with also this really electric and immersive atmosphere. The NEO Summit is more than just a conference. It is a really fun and great place to get away from your desk and innovate your fundraising and accelerate your impact. So you can join hundreds of your fellow nonprofit professionals in Indianapolis in September on the 18th and 19th, and you can save $600 on your ticket right here. It is the lowest price available anywhere. So click the link in the show notes for both of these events. They are incredible. They put on an incredible speaker presentation, all tons of great resources for you. Invest in yourself and the growth of your organization by attending these two phenomenal events.
We had thousands of nonprofits that were counting on us, thousands of nonprofits that were counting on us to help them continue to fundraise. And for us, those stakes were so high that there really wasn't an option of not leaning into innovation and leaning in and staying with our nonprofit customers and helping them fundraise through this in any way.
Hey there, you're listening to the Missions to Movements podcast, and I'm your host, Dana Snyder, digital strategist for nonprofits and founder and CEO of Positive Equation. This show highlights the digital strategies of organizations making a positive impact in the world. Ready to learn the latest trends, actionable tips, and the real stories from behind the feed? Let's transform your mission into a movement. Hey, listeners, I am very pumped for today's conversation with Steve John, CEO of One Cause. I was very fortunate to receive a package in the mail recently. Steve and your team, thank you so much for sending me this wonderful new book that you have, Fearless. I know books take a lot of time and effort, and this was beautifully put together. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And I want to dive into it. The book is really neat and it's very different because it essentially showcases a very transparent diary of email communication that you started sending out to your team when the pandemic hit in 2020, all the way through, and I don't know if they still continue, but at least in the book, all the way through November of 2021. And you, what I loved is you were so honest and you shared very upfront that you're like, what am I setting myself up for by sharing these weekly emails with my team to kind of provide a sense of calm at the beginning? A, do you still send them? And B, what was the impact of sending those weekly emails as the months went on?
So to set the foundation, we had just been rocked by the impact of in-person fundraising being shut down. March 14th, March 21st, 2020, no relief in sight. The first 2 weekends of that shutdown, we were scheduled to support about 200 events on each one of those weekends, and they went to zero overnight. So what we had to do is we had to take immediate action, first and foremost, to ensure that the company was going to be viable, and we reduced operating expenses dramatically without a reduction in force. And so I called this company meeting together, and I said, our way back was not going to be measured on a calendar, but by our fundraising results. And there's no more measurable place to start than zero, right? I mean, you started at zero. So the only way that the team would know how we were doing is if I reported out to them. And it probably would have been easier to report monthly, but you know, things were changing daily. And so I felt frequent, open communication was the only way to keep it together. And so I said, you know, kind of ... weekly. And I really did take a dramatic pause there. It was a big commitment. I was like, okay, here we go. We got to do this. And so the first couple of updates were like, hey, how are you? Crazy. We're trying to figure it all out. We're talking to our customers. And then it was a few updates later that I started to kind of seek and find this inspiration from outside. And I created these themed updates. And it started with this parable of the lotus bud working its way through the mud. And ultimately, I would say these updates formed the connective tissue between us. You know, again, we went work from home immediately, and 200 people work from home and work from anywhere. And so this kind of became this extension of our culture and communication. It was this tether that really connected us in this rallying point. And then from time to time, the response and feedback I got was amazing. It was heartfelt. It was real. There was gratitude. Sometimes I received the messages and I got back emails that said, thank you for your words each week. I've come to look forward to them, almost depend on them. And, you know, I knew that I couldn't stop. To answer the second part of your question, I ultimately did end up stopping. I went about monthly in 2022. And finally, a few months ago in 2022, I said, hey, listen, I think we're ready. I think we're ready. We don't need this anymore. We're back. Fundraising is back. COVID has not gone away, but we don't need these frequent communications. But I do send out communications on holidays, on special moments, on commemoration days. In fact, I sent out a message yesterday just talking about what's going on with Silicon Valley Bank and just giving everyone reassurances. And so I do think that that's one of the lessons that I learned, that you really should continue frequent and transparent open communications just so you give people those reassurances.
Yeah, and I think that's so powerful and important. I know it's been years. I've had my company for 6 years now. And so it's been a while since I was back working in the corporate space, but I do very much remember asking and wanting to know from senior management, like, how are we doing? Like, how is our department doing? What's like the projections? Like, where are we looking to go? And you don't want to have to guess those things, right? You want to have leadership be open and be able to showcase with you, like, hey, this is how we're doing. These are the things we're working on. These are the things coming up down the tent pole of things that we want to invest in or be innovative about. So I think that was a really, really, really important and strategic move.
Yes, thank you. And again, I think that we all want to take lessons learned away from the pandemic. And one of the things that I also want to talk about is while we learn those lessons in the face of this global crisis, these are lessons that we can apply every day. And we call the book Leadership Lessons at the Crossroads. And so I think we face these crossroads every day. It's not just in the face of a global crisis. It is how we deal with customers. It is how we deal with our family. It is how we deal with our coworkers. And so I think that there's some really good lessons in the book that can be applied even in the course of day-to-day activities.
Yeah. And I loved one of the first things that you talked about was that your executive team was like, we're not doing mass layoffs. People aren't losing their benefits, right? Which was a really big fear at the time. And instead, really doubled down and dove into innovation and figuring out, okay, how do we need to pivot, right? I think that was like the word of the word of the century.
I'm okay using that word.
How are we going to pivot to make sure that we're creating something that is, and you wrote, not only going to work to help to solve what we're in, but is going to be a long-lasting solution. How did that decision end up playing out for the company?
And thank you for teeing it up in that way. It's really such a great question, Dana, because it was really truly what we needed to do, and that was to lean in. So it's really an important lesson that we learned, and I hope that others can learn from it. And I want to put a quote in here that was not in the book. It was a quote that actually somebody gave to me later, but there was a former Formula One racer who said, you can't overtake 15 cars on a sunny day, but you can when it's raining. When you think about, well, what does fearless mean to me? That's what fearless means. It's like, we're going to use this rainy day and we're going to overtake, we're going to lean in. And so despite the great unknown, being willingness to move forward and take action, lean in, if you will, that's what we feel is the definition of fearless. So we knew that we had the confidence to weather the storm, and we didn't know how long it was going to take, but we did know what the cost of a reduction in force would be. And we did know the toll that that would take on morale and culture. So we just found other ways. We knew that we needed everyone for the task at hand. And then, as you said, we leaned into innovation. And the chief product officer came to me and said, I have an idea. And let's kind of shift all of our innovation towards a purpose-built fundraising platform that we called the Virtual Event Center that had live video streaming and was purpose-built. We brought that to market in 4 months. We started April-ish, and we launched that in September of 2020. It was not perfect, but as Winston Churchill said, right, perfection is the enemy of progress. And so we needed to get it out. And so that decision gave us that one more tool in the toolkit. And then to your second point about that needed to be sustained, we came to an agreement on that. And so that virtual event center that we got to market in 4 months, that core, that foundation became the One Cause fundraising platform, which we released now in October of last year, 2022, which will now form the foundation for the future of fundraising for our company. And I say in here, I think that that's going to power innovation for the next decade for our company. So it really stayed true to what we agreed is we're not just building a Skunk Works project. It's not just to make our way through the pandemic. It is the foundation for the future. It was released now in October and will be the future. So our whole company emerged stronger. We were tested. And what I'll say to that is, if we can do that, what can't we do?
Right. Do you think that part of that comes from, so you have experience outside of the nonprofit sector? And there oftentimes, right, we talk a lot about in nonprofit nature, scarcity mindset. And especially in moments like that, where it's like abundance of fear, maybe not the fearless, we're feeling the fear part of everything. How did the team come to that decision? Or was there even a question?
There truly wasn't a question. And it really wasn't. And as I've said to others, when I look back at this time, I don't ever remember feeling that we couldn't make it through. And I think that that was what got us through. We never allowed ourselves to think, oh my gosh, we don't know how we're going to make it. And so I think it was a mindset. I think it was a commitment. It was a dedication. And the other thing is that the nonprofit customer base, they rely on us. So this has been described as an existential threat. And I think it was an existential threat to One Cause, but we never really saw it that way. But our existence was important for One Cause. Of course, we had 200 people who relied on One Cause, but we had thousands of nonprofits that were counting on us, thousands of nonprofits that were counting on us to help them continue to fundraise. And for us, those stakes were so high that there really wasn't an option of not leaning into innovation and leaning in and staying with our nonprofit customers and helping them fundraise through this in any way that we could.
That's such a powerful takeaway for any listener. If you're in a tough spot or something feels like you're just in a circle of failure or can't get out of something, and to try and shift that mindset. I remember when I first started my business that I had this mindset of I won't fail. I had zero clients. I didn't know what I was doing. I moved across the country. I was living on a friend's like spare room, but I was just like, I'm going to make it. There's no if, and, or buts about it. And I think if you go into it with that intent, others also feel that energy and that presence. And that is so important. So for any of you that are listening, you can't technically see the book right now. I will put a link to it. And I know we can get it on Amazon, but there's lots of beautiful Lotus imagery in here. And it plays a really important part in the book pretty early on. Can you tell us about the significance?
I'm very happy to. And it was that story that really formed the basis for my future updates. And that was seeking inspiration and illustration from the outside and bringing it home to One Cause and through my retelling of the story. And so specific to the lotus, there's an ancient Buddhist parable about the lotus bud that works its way through the muck and the mud of the pond. And it ultimately makes its way to the surface and emerges as this beautiful lotus flower. And the bud is a symbol of potential. And the flower that emerges is a symbol of resilience and beauty, transformation, rebirth. And without the mud, you don't get the lotus. That's kind of the foundation of the story. And so when I heard the story, I was doing my morning meditation and I thought, wow, that is us. But we were not the beautiful lotus flower. We were really in the mud. We were working our way through the mud, and same with our nonprofit customers. And like, we were so deep in the mud. It was so dark. We weren't in the pond yet. You know, like, we couldn't see the light coming through the pond. We were in the mud. But I also had to tell the story. And I said, everyone is feeling the darkness of the mud, But I have to give everyone the vision of what we can be, what we will be someday, this beautiful lotus flower that will emerge someday. And to your point, the marketing team took this imagery, created this beautiful book cover and symbolism throughout the book. It's really visually stunning, and it's so meaningful to us and our shared journey with our customers. I'm very proud of it. It's when you held the book up, it just makes me proud to think that we were able to kind of use that symbolism as a rallying point very, very early on. Like, I think it was maybe my second or third update. It kind of formed the foundation, inspiration for future, and really is true. And I will say that we have emerged, our customers have emerged, and we have emerged now as this beautiful lotus flower.
Thank you for sharing that. And I think for those of you that are listening that lead a team, or if you're even just an individual as a solo team, the book is structured in such where it is literally Steve is sharing the emails that he sent. And then at the end, there are leadership lessons. So it's not like a typical read through, but it's a very transparent look at what was being sent every single week. And I want to go right at the beginning. I want to take us back because you shared this really cool story of a nonprofit that was the Schoolhouse Rock presented by Cornerstone Schools of Alabama. They were your first, tell me if I'm wrong, but from what I remember, they were your first transition from an in-person to a virtual event in 24 hours. What happened? How did that go down?
Such a great story. And to put it into context, we talked about these events that went to zero. In the spring of 2020, we had 2,100 events that were on the books ready to happen. They went to zero overnight in an instant. And so we literally got on the phones. We called thousands of customers. We prioritized who has an event next week, the week after, in the coming months. We prioritized these events. And Cornerstone Schools was one of them. So as you said, we together with them went virtual. We assigned a virtual event manager to their event.
Did that role exist before?
Interestingly enough, it did. And we kind of dusted it off and took it off the shelf because in the past, we have supported not global or national disasters, but local disasters like floods, wildfires, etc. And so our customers had decided to bring people together at a gala or in a ballroom, but we couldn't get somebody to the event. And so we had a virtual event manager standing by with a headset, but helping the customer through that event just as if they were on site. It wasn't used frequently, thank goodness, but that became essentially kind of plan A here. And so, you know, super interesting. We had a name for it, the virtual event manager. But today, when you talk about virtual, you think of some element of live streaming or some production of streaming. But to your point, this happened in 24 hours. There wasn't time to put together a production team. And so what did they do? They reached out with, we said it earlier, communication, honesty, vulnerability, otherwise known as our AKA fearlessness. So they, what did they do? They reached out to, number one, their donor base, and number two, their supporters. And they said, essentially, we're in a tough spot. We need you now more than ever. Super honest, super vulnerable. And what came out of that was increased reach and inclusivity. See, they had 600 people who had bought tickets to the event and who were planning to attend the event. But now by going virtual, they reached out to everyone in their supporter base. And so they were reaching out to thousands of people who were more than willing to give right then and there on the phone. So what they discovered was this increased reach of willing supporters. Their sponsors knew that they were not going to get the return on investment or the exposure that you would get in an in-person gala, but they didn't lose one sponsor. Those sponsors stuck with them, again, because they were willing to reach out with honesty and vulnerability. Now, the other thing that they did is employed social media. They put out posts and posted videos and texts. And so I know that part of your mission is to help nonprofits to use social media and technology to transform online experiences. And this was absolutely that. And so the other thing that we found out during the pandemic, the cool thing about our technology was that it was already designed to be mobile first. And so while most organizations bring 500 people into a ballroom and then use our technology to bid on a mobile phone, you can also be bidding from your home, from your kitchen, from your living room, and that's where people were. And so what everyone discovered is it's more fun and entertaining to bring people together in a ballroom, but you could actually do it in your homes. And so they ended up having 800 online participants. They raised more money than they had budgeted. They raised more money than the prior year. They hit all of their numbers. And so these are the types of stories that inspired us, that kept us going, that were told and retold through the toughest times of the pandemic, and just continue to provide us inspiration. And again, you'll find several of these success stories in the books, in the chapters as well, because we incorporated them into the telling of the story of not only one cause, but one cause working together with our customers to continue to fundraise in these, you know, truly, as you said, pivot, I'm going to say unprecedented, in these unprecedented times.
So good. Such a good story. Do you find now that we're back in person that because there's been so much movement, so during that time, I was producing a lot of virtual events for nonprofits because of my background in digital and working on productions. Do you find that because people have moved and they understand that their supporter base is all over, are they tending to do a hybrid and or virtual option in conjunction with an in-person event?
What I would say to that is, I think that that's next, but the pendulum swung 100% virtual and online. I think the pendulum is swinging to in-person. Nobody really wants to have a conversation around virtual and online, but I think we're going to settle in this hybrid world because, and it may not even happen simultaneously. It might be two separate events. But one of the things that nonprofits and we have learned about the virtual and online space is what I talked about is this reach. Rather than just those 500 people who are willing to go downtown, buy a ticket, get dressed up, and go to a ball, you have thousands.
And it makes it more inclusive.
And it's more inclusive. You're including everyone. So rather than just that 500, you're including 2,000. And maybe it's not the full event. Maybe it's just the silent auction or the fund a need at the end. And so I think these models are going to develop as I think right now people want to get in person. But I think that they're going to find that the reach of online and virtual is going to maybe bring them to kind of in the middle. And so, and that's, by the way, how we have built the new One Cause fundraising platform. So we have built the new One Cause fundraising platform to be able to be in person, virtual, and hybrid to provide for that future of fundraising that we see.
So you have all the different versions. Yeah, that's great. As a CEO, there are so many leadership lessons that you do share within the book for the leader, for the founder listening. What do you think would be three key, I know it's so hard to narrow down, like three key takeaways when you are at task with a crisis situation?
No, I appreciate that. And as I said, we do have these leadership lessons at the end of every chapter, and I think there's 50 of them in the book. So we've already really talked about it a little bit. And I would say number one, engage in open, frequent, transparent communication. And I'm going to add proactive to that. Don't let people ask you where the message is. Be proactive, be in front of that. And so I've learned this lesson myself. Even if you don't have all the answers, your team is looking to you for guidance and leadership. So that leads me to the second one. And this is a tough one for people. Allow yourself to be vulnerable. And this is hard to do, particularly for so-called leaders. And I say so-called because I think, and I say this in the book too, I think that we're all leaders in our own way. But in the context of CEOs and executive directors, they're expected to have the answers. And in fact, sometimes they think they do have all the answers. But sometimes we actually believe that we have all the answers. But the truth is, and people want the truth, you don't always have the answers. And how could I have stood in front of everyone in the face of a global pandemic, something that no one had ever experienced before in their life, and say, I have all the answers? So you say, I don't have all the answers. We're going to stick together. We're going to figure it out. And if we stick together, we're going to win together. And that's what people are looking for, is the truth. So we use this expression a lot, put your mask on first. And so take care of yourself, take care of your company, take care of your close-in relationships, because you have to be able to then externalize that and take care of others. And then focus on the things that you can control rather than the external forces that are coming at you. And I call that literally the secret of life. I wish somebody would have taught me that earlier in my career and maybe in my personal life as well. There are some things that you just can't control. and we could not control the pandemic, but we were 100% in control of what we did next, how we reacted to that. And so I think that's a huge lesson to learn is don't wring your hands about things that are outside of your control, but realize what you want to do next, make a plan right here, right now, take action.
I know one of the things that we talk a lot about in our household is this worth worrying about? Like, do I have the control to change this thing or is it not worth it, right? And we're spending my brain power and my worry on and energy and letting it suck it out of me. And as a type A personality, that can be very difficult, but very true.
Right. And I used to not like this expression, it is what it is, or it just is, because that always to me implied that there's no action to take. But the fact is, it is. Okay. And then you have to deal with that and you have to take action. And so you have to decide how you're going to react. You can't change it. It actually is. You just have to make the next move.
Which goes so nicely into a quote from the book where you said, if we choose to be grateful, we reframe the world and control our experience of it. And I thought that was so well said. And so, Steve, with that, I want to head into two of my last questions. As somebody who is, I'm sure, always learning, what are either your favorite books right now or podcasts that you're listening to, either for fun or professional development?
So I will say that for, it's kind of fun, kind of professional development. I like Ryan Holiday's Daily Stoic. There are some Stoicism references in the book. And so he takes these 2,000-year-old concepts and brings them forward into the modern era. And I get enjoyment out of that. And I'll add something that my wife and I listen to primarily when we're traveling. It really helps pass the time. But it's a podcast called How I Built This with Guy Raz on NPR. Isn't it fantastic?
I love that. I love that podcast.
Yeah. So it's about founders of tech companies, food companies, really anything. And there's these great learnings in these origin stories and how they had initial success or failure and how they put everything at risk and they built teams. It's really fascinating. And I listen to it to pass time, but it's also really great to learn from all of these stories.
If you haven't listened to Business Wars yet, that's another great one right up that alley. It's fascinating. And the sound editing is wonderful. And so Business Wars takes a little bit of a different stance and does comparison. So Nike versus Adidas or Adidas, as they say, and they do KFC versus Chick-fil-A, Blockbuster versus Netflix. And they tell you the competitive nature in the story. And it's brilliant. Brilliant. You would really like it. My husband and I listen to that on our trips as well. Thank you for sharing those. And then lastly, I always like to ask with a question called Ask and Receive. So Steve, what's one thing that you would like to ask for help or support on from the listeners?
So I appreciate that. And we're talking about abundance mentality, and I really feel like we have abundance here at One Cause. And so what I would say is this, is we help thousands of nonprofits with fundraising and donor engagement, and they need our support now more than ever. And so we jumped right from the pandemic, and if you remember kind of February, March of 2022, into this period of economic uncertainty, and then we were hit with inflation and rising interest rates, and now we have fear of recession. And I think that I'd really like to ask everyone to continue to support their favorite causes. And if you don't have a favorite cause, find a new one or find one and be generous, because we're talking about gratitude. And so we have so much to be grateful for. I have so much to be grateful for personally. And not everyone is so lucky. And so as I look back at One Cause, I think the world is a better place because we're here. And that makes me feel really good about our mission and our purpose and what we do. But we have so far to go. We have homelessness and disease and lack of education and food insecurity, you name it. And so I would say is find an organization and support it. They need you now more than ever.
Beautiful. I love that. Thank you so much for spending a little time during your afternoon with me. Everyone, where can they go out? Again, where can they go out and find Fearless?
So we are available on Amazon. If you go to Amazon, search Fearless and my name, Steve Johns, it should pop up. And you can also go to fearlessfundraisers.com. If you want to connect with me, you can reach out. You can find me on LinkedIn or find One Cause on LinkedIn.
Awesome. And speaking of in-person, you have an in-person annual event, Raise. Do you want to give a little shout out? When is that happening?
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, we do. So September 11th and 12th this year, 2022, the annual Raise conference will be
2023.
Sorry. Thank you.
We are definitely in 2023. I'm having a baby this year.
September 11th and 12th, 2023. It's going to be in Nashville. It's going to be huge. We're at the Country Music Hall of Fame. Please come. Please say hello. Look forward to seeing everybody there.
Awesome. Amazing. Thanks, Steve, so much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Can you tell I love talking all things digital? To make this show better, I'd be so grateful for your feedback. Leave a review, take a screenshot of this episode, share it on Instagram stories, and tag Positive Equation with one E so I can reshare and connect with you.